Thank you, Donnie. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's been a while since I've been to church, working nights. And actually, I've got a new job that I start on Tuesday that I'll probably end up by working nights for quite a while. Try and start always with a question. And the question for today is, what is it that makes us useful to God? It says that he's a jealous God, that we put no other gods before him. Yet I see ourselves, me included, do that every day. I want to go to, for my first scripture, I want to go to 2 Timothy. First chapter. And I know you guys are all familiar with this scripture. 12th verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I just wonder, do we understand that scripture? What have I committed unto my God? I've committed my whole life. We just seen that little baby that started out that life. Has it had that opportunity to do that? No. But yet, for myself, every day I have to make that commitment. That he is able. What is he able to do? Everything and anything. Against that day, what is that day? Is it our day of judgment? Or is it every day? I find myself looking at myself and saying, well, what manner of man are we? If I have committed myself and my life to my God, what manner of man? Let's go down to the next two verses. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. It better be dwelling in us. If that Holy Ghost doesn't burn within you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I want you to consider something. Let's go to Matthew 13. First verse. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had much not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We're all familiar with that. We all understand it. So who was saved? Who of those were saved? We like to throw that term around. But he gives the explanation. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which received seed by the wayside. Is he saved? I mean, we've got to be very careful here. It says that Satan took it out. He received it. And he understood it. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, there's a choice there. He received that word with thanksgiving, with joy. Tribulation, persecution. Who needs this? He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I mean, look, we decide for ourselves. I'm not talking about anyone. I'm talking about myself. I see some of these things in myself. But he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Beareth fruit. He understood the word. Am I offended because of the word? Many people that were no different than me. Before I heard the word, I wasn't any different than any of these people. But at some point, a crisis came in my life. And all the things, and I tell people, I thought religion was for weak people until my God showed me how weak I really was. And when that happened, that Spirit of God was able to work upon me. That I was humbled. That I was broken. And I'm not saying for anyone else to take that same path that I had. But I understood. And I had a relationship that He dealt with me in so many different ways that it changed my life completely. I want to go to Alma, page 425. And it's Alma 16, 168. But it is because your ground is barren, and ye will not nourish the tree. Therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith, with great diligence, and with patience looking forward to that fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the Lord, with the word, in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. It's given us the understanding of what we need to do. To nourish that fruit. To nourish our beings. Our spiritual beings. I want to go back to 2 Timothy. Second chapter, 10th verse. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I endure all things. You know, when I used to go through tribulations and stuff, I would tell the Lord, I would say, I am not Job. And the reason was is I was immature as a Christian. Paul understood this better than anyone else. And the things that happened to Paul, because he persecuted the church, that he understood that once he had that relationship, and Galatians, the first chapter of Galatians actually tells me better, that he said, I wasn't taught of man, neither I received it, but by the revelations of Jesus Christ. And then it tells how long it took him. It wasn't just a week or just something that just happened, and then all of a sudden he was changed and he was just a different person. It was the beginning. It was the time that he spent alone. It was the time that he separated himself in the wilderness to become that usable thing for his God. You know, we used to have reunions that would last for a week. They were fantastic. They were fantastic because you had separated yourself away from the world for a whole week. And by the time that last service came on the last Sunday, it was simply amazing. Sometimes just, we know it's there, we just can't quite get there. You know, and the thing is, you know, when we present ourselves to the world, when people look at us, do they see anything different in us? Is there anything different about us? Or do we just blend in? Just like everyone else. Not a peculiar people, not something different about that person. Different set of standards. You know, everybody's got these smartphones. You know, some of the things that I've seen on other people's phones. Terrible. Does it make us any different? Should that Spirit of God should burn within us. It changes our very beings. Let's go to page 484 in the Book of Mormon. Chapter of Alma. I'm going to start in the 185th verse. And thus ended the 19th year of the reign of judges over the people of Nephi. Yea, and there was continual peace among them, and exceeding great prosperity, and the church, because of their heed and diligence which they gave unto the word of God, which was declared unto them by Helaman, Shiblom, and Coriantum, and Ammon, and his brethren, etc. You see, their diligence, their heed to the word of God found place in them. I want to go back now to page 365. Twelfth chapter of Alma, 34th verse. And Ammon said unto him, and this is when Ammon was captured by the Lamanites. And Ammon said unto him, yea, I desire to dwell among this people for a time, yea, and perhaps until the day I die. And it came to pass that King Lemoni was much pleased with Ammon, and he caused that his bonds should be loosened, and he would that Ammon should take one of his daughters to wife. But Ammon said unto him, Nay, but I will be thy servant. Therefore Ammon became a servant to King Lemoni. And it came to pass that he was set among other servants to watch the flocks of Lemoni, according to the custom of the Lamanites. And after he had been in the service of the king 3 days, as he was with the Lamanite servants, going forth with their flocks to the place of water, which was called the waters of Sebus, and all the Lamanites drive their flocks thither, that they may have water. Therefore, as Ammon and the servants of the king were driving forth their flocks to the place of water, behold, a certain number of the Lamanites who had been with their flocks to water stood and scattered the flocks of Ammon and the servants of the king, and they scattered them insomuch that they fled many ways. Now the servants of the king began to murmur, saying, Now the king will slay us as he has our brethren, because their flocks were scattered by the wickedness of these men. And they began to weep exceeding, saying, Behold, our flocks are scattered already. Now they wept because of the fear of being slain. Now when Ammon saw this, his heart was swollen within himself with joy. For he said, I will show forth my power unto these my fellow servants of the power which is in me, in restoring these flocks unto the king, that I may win the hearts of these my fellow servants, but I may lead them to believe in my words. Now these were the thoughts of Ammon when he saw the affliction of those whom he termed to be his brethren. And it came to pass that he flattered them by his words, saying, My brethren, be of good cheer, and let us go and search for the flocks, and we will gather them together and bring them back into the place of water. And thus we will reserve the flocks unto the king, and he will not slay us. Yous all know the story, correct? Yous have all read this. This is about 40 pages of what this account is. But you've all read this, correct? And so what happened? Was he a servant just like any other? Was he the same as everyone else? No. Not in the least bit. And we find as we go through here that he changed that whole nation. One person. Because it was a different standard that he adhered to. That he had God on his side. Now, I'm not going to read all of it. Because it would take me too long. And I don't have that kind of time. But the thing is that he was a special servant. Or was he? Was he any different than you and I? He had God with him. He had God with him. No matter where you put, there is a reason for it. You may hate your job. May not be the love that you want. There are many reasons why we become discouraged with this thing that we call life. Can you imagine being a servant for the king? That your life wasn't your own anymore. It's not ours anyway, is it? Let's see. Page 405. Chapter 15. 26th verse through the 35th. And now behold, this will, and this was after it was all over and done with, all the slaughter and everything else, that the other Lamanites that came and tried to destroy them, and they just bowed down before them because of the testimony that they had. And now behold, this will we do unto our brethren, that they may inherit the land of Goshen. And we will guard them from their enemies with our armies on conditions that they will give us a portion of their substance to assist us that we may maintain our armies. Now it came to pass that when Ammon had heard this, he returned to the people of the Anti-Nephi-Lehi and also Alma with him, under the wilderness where they had pitched their tents and had made known unto them all these things. And Alma related unto them his conversation with Ammon and Aaron and his brethren. And it came to pass that it did cause great joy among them. And they went down into the land of Goshen and took possession of the land of Goshen, and they were called by the Nephites the people of Ammon. Therefore they were distinguished by the name ever after, and they were among the people of Nephi and also numbered among the people who were of the church of God. And they were also distinguished for their zeal towards God and also towards men. For they were perfectly honest and upright in all things, and they were firm in the faith of Christ even unto the end. And they did look upon shedding the blood of their brethren with the greatest abhorrence, and they never would be prevailed upon to take up arms against their brethren, and they never did look upon death with any degree of terror, for their hope and view of Christ and the resurrection. Therefore, death was swallowed up to them by the victory of Christ over it. Therefore, they would suffer death in the most aggravating and distressing manner which could be inflicted by their brethren before they would take the sword or the scimitar to smite them. And thus they were a zealous and beloved people, highly favored people of the Lord. That word of God had changed them. It defies the logic of man. It defies who we are. Someone whacks you and you want to whack them back. One man with God's help saved a nation. You know, I think about Alma, how he was that servant, how he just decided that was the best thing. He said, and he said, okay, if I die here, it's okay. We fear death. We fear those that close to it or that I don't fear it. Why should I fear it? The promise that our God gives us, if we're doing these things, if we're honest in everything that we do, if we're upright, if we're that peculiar people, When people talk to us, they see something different. You know, last time I was here, you know, I talked about covenants. It was a Sunday evening. I don't think we really understand. When we make that commitment to our God, He makes that same commitment unto us. I don't think we realize the importance. We're always looking at what's in it for me. And you know, for a good portion of my life, I was one of those people. Let's go to 439, page 439. 17th chapter, 46th verse through the 48th. And now behold, I tell you by the spirit of prophecy that if you transgress the commandments of God, behold, these things which are sacred shall be taken away from you by the power of God, and ye shall be delivered up unto Satan, that he may sift you as the chaff before the wind. But if you keep the commandments of God and do with these things which are sacred, according to that which the Lord doth command you, for ye must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever ye must do with them. Behold, no power on earth or hell can take them from you. For God is powerful to the fulfilling of all words. For he will fulfill all his promise, which he shall make unto you. For he has fulfilled his promises, which he hath made unto your fathers. That special servant. Not by any other power could they be taken out of God's hands. You know, I marvel sometimes at my God and what He does for us and where He puts us. You know, and I think about that first chapter of John. Let's go there for a second. I'm only going to use one verse, and I think it's, there it is. It's the third verse. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is talking about Christ. Do you understand the significance of that? That he created everything. And you know, I think it takes more faith to believe that there isn't a God by the things that we look around us. You know, he even created Judas, who he knew was going to betray him, walked side by side with him. How many of us could do that? Or even Satan. That he would be able to torment us day and night. And poke his finger in the eye of the Lord every now and again. Or try to. Knew what kind of servants they were going to be. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He says, have I not chosen 12 of you and one is a devil? Chose each and every one of you here. I'd have a little bit of a problem with that. I see, my time is up. I want to go back to, I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. I'm going to try and shorten it up a little bit. Let's go back to page 417. Verse 82, this is chapter 16 of the book of Alma. And now, as the preaching of the word had had a greater tendency to lead the people to do that which was just, yea, it had more powerful effect than upon the minds of the people than the sword or anything else which had happened unto them. Therefore, Alma thought it was expedient that he should try the virtue of the Word of God. Virtue of the Word of God. That it would change their hearts. You know, there's many people that I deal with that don't believe in God. Do you think I stopped talking to them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because, you know, if someone hadn't have taken the opportunity to plant those seeds in me, I wouldn't be here today. Wouldn't be here today. And when that word of God works in your life, and people see what kind of changes that God has done for you, His glory. You ever wondered why God blesses us even when we're rebellious? Because we are. You ever wondered why He still continues to bless us, you know, and we think, I must be doing okay. But we know better because we know the Word of God. We know our hearts better than anyone else. We know why we do things, or we should. Because it works as a double-edged sword. You know, and some of our brothers and sisters, you know, you tell them, you say, look, don't go there. Don't do that. They still do it. You know? They say, well, you know, God loves me. Otherwise, He wouldn't have brought me here. We lie to ourselves. And yet, in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, it says this, and this will be my last scripture. Eighth chapter, 11th verse. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set to do them. Set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as the shadow, because he feareth not before God. I pray for each and every one of you, as I hope that you pray for me, that our lives might be changed, that we may be useful instruments in the hands of our God, that we may be the servants of the Most High God. And I don't mean just the ministry. I mean each and every one of you. That you bear that testimony to anyone that will listen of how he deals with you and how he lives in your life. And with that, I'm thankful to be here. And I just praise my God for this opportunity. Thank you very much.